All right, everybody, on your mark. Get set. Vote. No. I just want to mention there is someone out in the lobby who is registering, who can register you to vote, has the paperwork to do that. October 16th is the last date. Need I tell you, both at every level, locally, statewide, national, I think we have some very important decisions ahead of us. But we have some very important issues right here and right now, which we're going to be talking about. We're going to start off at this end of the table and move on down. And a two-minute opening statement. Why are you running? What are your priorities?
Well, is it on? Can you hear me? I can't hear me. Tests. Now it's on. Somebody turned it on back there. So good evening. My name is Bruce Jones. I'm running for mayor because the pace of change in Astoria is exceeding our ability to manage it. Instead, change is managing us. So let's get out in front of the curve. Let's determine our own destiny. Let's manage change in a way that preserves the unique qualities that make us love Astoria while still fostering economic and cultural vibrancy. And I'm ready to lead that effort. I'll listen to the community, study best practices from other small cities, work with the city council to develop a vision for what we all want Astoria to look like 25 years from now, and make deliberate choices to get us there. The mayor's primary job is to lead the council and the city by setting the council agenda, by prioritizing effort, shaping policy, and making decisions. The council's losing three members. We can't waste time going through a long transitional period. We need strong leadership to gain forward momentum immediately. As mayor, my priorities will be diversifying our economy and attracting new living wage jobs, adding more housing that Astorians can afford, preparing for the inevitable, devastating Cascadia subduction zone earthquake and tsunami, ensuring sustainable infrastructure, services, and programs, and finally, responding to the homelessness crisis. Governance is about facing thorny issues for which every solution has both supporters and detractors. As a Coast Guard leader, I learned to listen to a wide variety of interagency viewpoints, collaborate with diverse groups, find common ground, and prioritize action with limited resources. I enjoy the challenge of working with others to find solutions to complex problems. Leadership is what will ensure Astoria doesn't become Lincoln City in 25 years. I've spent my professional life learning and practicing the skills required to work effectively with city staff, my fellow counselors, and you, our neighbors. I'm honored to ask you to serve as your mayor. Thank you.
And I'm just going to remind everybody, because this is the second panel, remember to say your name before you make any kind of statement, because it's going to be there's going to be a podcast that KMUN is preparing, and of course the people listening to it won't be able to see you. So just state your name. Go ahead.
All right, my name is Michael Sasha Miller. I go by Sasha, but people call me whatever they're comfortable with, Michael, Sasha, or Alex. Long story. I'm running for mayor. I like to say that I'm a candidate for mayor because I'm concerned about a lot of different things. The Trump administration is definitely one of the things I'm concerned about. And it's not what I intended saying, but this last week has been so emotional for me, I wanted to point it out. I'm going to talk about my mother just for a minute. My mother as a child was molested by her stepfather. She was given up by her mother to her aunt to protect her from her new stepfather, so basically she was abandoned. On the honeymoon, my father turned to my mother and said, "I believe that a man has a right to hit his wife." My mother thought it was a joke. She was beat severely several times. She was stripped naked, tied to a tree, and shot out with a rifle. My father urinated in a bottle, held it down, sprayed it in her face. This is the kind of stuff, this is the childhood that I had. That we are now in a time today when we have a president that attacks a victim of sexual abuse. in the year 2018. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. I feel that while we have a lot of pressing issues locally, and I'd love to talk about those, I don't think that we can ignore in any corner of America what the Trump administration is doing or what it represents. We only get one chance to do the right thing, and this is our chance. That aside, just as Trump is doing some really horrible things, I feel that our community is neglecting. Trump locked up a bunch of kids. Go ahead. All right, so stop. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dulcie Taylor. Thank you to the AAUW and all the sponsors for bringing us to this moment. I'm looking forward for your vote for the mayor of Astoria because I and others believe that we need some strong, creative solutions to some challenges our city faces today. I approach community leadership with continual focus on hearing all sides, maintaining balance in our decision-making, and prioritizing those efforts that best serve the common good. Honoring our heritage and history today will certainly safeguard and assure us that we're making the right decisions for our city in the next 50 to 100 years from now. I'm highly collaborative, always seeking to engage diverse people, groups, ideologies that reflect the varied fabric of our community. I would foster a culture of teamwork, service, and respect on the council, and hold myself to those same standards. We have a history here in Clatsop County of identifying needs and then attacking them with several small groups, often resulting in duplicated efforts or unintended competition. Because we are a collection of small communities and we are graced with an abundance of people who are truly invested in them, we would be wise to become even better communicators and collaborators. The more we come together as partners to address issues common to our communities, the more we will accomplish and the more successful we'll be as a whole. I intend to work closely and collaboratively with county leaders and leaders of other cities in our area to proactively address common challenges and goals. Thank you for your time, your consideration, and your vote.
Good evening. My name is Henry Ballensiefer. And I want to thank the AAUW for including Warrenton in this forum and for everyone for attending. It has been my privilege to serve the city of Warrenton as the mayor, and I'm running to continue that work that I've started, and of that work, I have four major priorities. One, manage growth instead of react to it. This is done by adopting a new community vision plan. I promise we will engage the community to update the plan, and using the vision as our compass, we can update or set new policies to ensure Warrenton remains a great place to live and work 20 years from now and become more resilient to disasters. Two, I want to revitalize our downtowns. That's plural. Both Warrenton and Hammond's downtowns have their own possibilities, heritage, look, and feel. I promise to honor that as we clean up and invest in them. Three, I want to continue to develop and leverage relationships with our local, state, and federal partners for the benefit of our city. Leveraging those relationships, I have successfully lobbied Congress to transfer the Hammond Marina to city ownership. We've worked to reform national flood insurance programs, and I've also got the National Guard to deploy and improve Diking District 2. I promise to continue building those relationships for the betterment of our town. My fourth priority is to make government more accessible and improve communication. We have made great strides in the last year, but there's always more work to do, and I will push for more technology integration in our outreach efforts. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to answering your questions.
Good evening. My name is John Washington. I'm 54 years old. My wife and I own property out in Hammond. I'm running for mayor for a multitude of reasons. First reason is transparency. I feel that the Warrenton city government is not transparent and hasn't been quite some time. Excuse me. As running for mayor, I'm handing out 2,500 flyers with about 25 volunteers to canvass the entire area of Hammond and Warrenton. And then through that experience, I've listened to people. And the people of Hammond and Warrenton are fed up to the gills with the non-transparency thing And nobody has addressed our elk problem. The elk are a definite problem in Hammond and Warrenton, and we need to make that a priority. They're getting a little too comfortable with population, they're charging people, they're hurting domesticated animals. It's time that we work with the local and federal government and get that problem solved. But like I said, to reiterate, one of my biggest platform, the main thing on my platform is the transparency of the city government. Thank you.
David Drayfall, City Council of Astoria, Ward 1. I'm running for City Council because I believe in Astoria, and I believe I have the vision and the attitude to help move the city forward into the positive direction that it is heading. But I do believe that we need to start looking at things differently in this city. We are consistently bringing in more and more people, and we have got to start thinking of different ways of having what people are going to be doing here, instead of just having the bars and the marijuana dispensaries. And we need to start thinking about different things and looking and bringing in different envisions of what people conceive to do in this town. I would like to see more environmental issues brought forward in the city. I believe that what makes that story beautiful is the relation of the water, the trees, and the people in this community. And I think that we need to strengthen those holds that we have here. And I just love this town so much that I think that I have the best vision for the Ward 1. I have been working in Ward 1s for 27 years. I've lived there. I started living in Ward 1 when I was 23 years old. I did not grow up in Astoria, but I grew up here in Astoria, and I love this town, and I have the best interest at heart for this town. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Roger Rocca, and I'm also running for Astoria City Council Ward 1, and David and I have talked, and I think we'll be friends when all this is over. Some of the things where I would like to have an impact initially is getting city staffing, getting the city fully staffed. We've been without a community development director now for over a year. And what happens when you don't have enough staff is things don't get done. And so a lot of the things the council wants to do get bottlenecked because we have a lack of staff. We also are without a parks director. And so we need to move forward on those things. I want to have the riverfront that our citizens want it to be, improving workforce housing, encouraging the success of existing businesses, creating some solutions for at least part of our homeless population, because the populations are very different, with different needs and different abilities and different chances to improve themselves and get themselves out of that situation. Those who have a mental illness or alcoholism or drug use, it's tougher for them. But there are people in the homeless population that's not homogenous who don't have those issues and just need a little bit of a helping hand. I want to work on emergency preparation for our community. We want to think that things won't happen, and hopefully they won't, but we need to be ready if they do. And we all need to have that little kit in our cars so we can be starting to take care of ourselves at first when something happens. And I also want Astoria to sort of be an example for equality and acceptance. And I think maybe that needs to become part of our motto and what we do here, that we are a place that is accepting, and we believe that everyone is equal, regardless of their gender preferences or their gender or their color or their size or anything else. I think my experience in the community and volunteer work and the chamber and my 40 years of owning a business of my own give me the tools to be a good representative for the people of our community and an effective member of the Astoria City Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. I want to thank our host tonight for having us here. Appreciate the opportunity to engage with you. My name is Ron Zilli, and I'm running for Astoria City Council, Ward 3. I've lived in Astoria for 24 years. I moved here shortly after graduating from a college, attaining a degree in forestry to work for the Oregon Department of Forestry. Prior to going back to school, I was on active duty in the U.S. Navy. I decided to go out and do something else to pursue a career in natural resources, but I also stayed in the Navy Reserves and completed a full career, 30 years, retiring as a Master Chief Petty Officer in 2015. It's amazing how fast time goes by, because it's already been nearly 25 years that I've been in the community, and I can remember very clearly, you know, getting here and really, I didn't know where I would stay or how long I would stay when I came to work here, but it turns out that I became very attached to Astoria for its uniqueness and the things that we all value in this community, and that's what's kept me here so long and what is going to keep me here in the future. You know, when I look at running for city council, I'm doing it because I want to serve. I think I have, through my breadth of experience in state government, currently I'm the field operations and policy manager for the Oregon Department of Forestry. I have statewide duties in planning and coordination for our timber harvest program and our other recreation and several other programs in our agency. And I've traveled around the state and I've traveled around the world with the military. I was also mobilized several times as a reservist, did multiple deployments in the Middle East, one to the Horn of Africa. And I've had opportunities to see how development's occurring in other parts of the world and places. And I think that I can bring a great breadth of experience to the local community and help do some of the things that candidates down the aisle for me for mayor had set out, being proactive about taking control of our city, finishing the urban core development plan, and getting good staff, like Roger has said, and fully staffed on our city government so that we can be proactive and they can be highly functioning and we can take control of our future. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joan Herman, and I first want to thank the AAUW and the Daily Astorian for sponsoring this forum. Astoria is at a turning point. It has been discovered big time, and what we do today will determine for generations to come how future residents enjoy it and visitors experience it. I'm running for Astoria City Council because I love this community, and I want to work to do whatever I can to ensure that as the town inevitably grows, we preserve and nurture what makes our home so uniquely Astoria. Its historic character, its eclectic and charming mix of architecture, its vibrant, locally owned business and arts community, and its tremendous natural beauty. Our community is at risk for becoming a place only the well-to-do can afford to live. Service workers on whom the tourism industry depends cannot find affordable places to live. 41% of renters in Astoria pay more than one-third of their income for housing. Rather than bringing more low-wage jobs to the community, we must focus on creating living wage jobs and increasing workforce housing for the service workers and others earning below the median income. My other priorities include bringing our beloved 51-year-old Astor Library into the 21st century, in part by making it accessible to all users. We need to fill the big hole on Duane Street with multifamily housing. We need to be more proactive about preparing for a natural disaster. And we need to continue partnering with area social service agencies and other nonprofit organizations to tackle the complex problem of homelessness. Thank you.
All right, the next round will be 1 minute responses to really easy questions. this audience asks some real tough ones, I have to tell you. Starting with Joan Herman and moving on down the line to Mr. Jones, the next question is homelessness. What is your specific plan on how to address it?
In 1 minute, that's going to be easy. No, it's a very complex problem. There are multiple causes of homelessness, and there are also would need to be multiple solutions. I think we need to start by not addressing this issue as an us versus them, as many of the citizens who are homeless are working. They're Astoria natives. They may be women who have escaped an abusive relationship. So I think it's important for us, again, to keep an open mind and not, again, think of this as an us versus them issue. I recognize that I certainly do not have all the answers, but my big goal as a city council person would be to listen to people who do have some of the answers. And as the city could take the role in gathering forces together among social service agencies and nonprofit groups to work to find some solutions to help address some of the problems. For example, possibly citing a drop-in center. Thank you.
Ron Zilli, Astoria City Council, Ward 3. You know, this is a problem that warrants a complete and coordinated system. As Astoria's role goes in the homelessness problem, I don't think it's Astoria City's role to replicate services that are already being performed other places, specifically the great skill and compassion that Clatsop Community Action, you know, exhibits in the community and on this issue. I think we need to partner and strengthen the work that they do. They provide great skill and have connection to resources. I think if we were going to make investments as a city, we'd be better off investing in the funding for entities like Clatsop Community Action to make them more successful and expand their influence and partner with other cities and communities, county, et cetera, really to be a quick and coordinated system. But I don't think that we should be replicating things that already exist in the community, and we should make them, you know, more robust and more effective.
Homelessness was discussed at Monday's city council meeting at some length, and I think some good things came from that. Roger Araka, running for Ward 1, Astoria City Council. The discussion was about removing homeless people from the woods and passing an ordinance that would permit that. In my experience, moving homeless people from one place to the other over and over again really gets us nowhere. The suggestion was made that instead of telling the homeless where they can't be, to tell them where they can be and have a place where we can provide some services and trash pickup and so on, and where the folks can come and administer flu shots and so on. And that may be a better solution. Volunteering at the Warming Center, I'm very aware that there are different homeless populations. We have those who are addicted, who are alcoholic, and who are mentally ill. But we also have people who missed a payment, and they're out of a job, they're out of their house. And so having a place where they can clean up and go apply works wonders for them.
David Drayfall, Astoria City Council, Ward 1. This is a very complex problem, and it can't be answered by one city council member. It is a systemic problem in this country. And we, like Roger was saying, they were talking about removing them out of the woods and sending them to another spot. Well, they don't know where that spot is, so maybe we should leave them where they're at now. But my concern is more for the people that are just above homeless, the citizens of this community that have, if they miss a payment on their car, they lose things, they get sick, they lose their job, then they're homeless. Then we add more problem to the problem that we already have. I think we need to start focusing in on lower income housing, affordable workforce housing for these people, because it's impossible for the workforce of this community to stay in their homes if they get sick and ill.
John Washington, candidate for mayor of Warrenton. The homelessness issue in the city of Warrenton City has some viable property located between the back of the fire department and the front of the city park. Warrenton doesn't have much as far as low income housing. Even if we were to build an apartment complex for the homeless to get them back on their feet, with all the new housing that's going on in Warrenton right now, we should excise a tax. You know, if the house is $150,000, put $10,000 on the house for the community, for that particular fund, where we can help these people get back on their feet. Because not all of them are dope addicts or anything else. They're just down on their luck, and when a man's down, you need to give him a hand up. Thank you.
Henry Balancey for running for Mayor of Warrenton. Homelessness, there's no silver bullet to it. That's been reiterated many times. I'm privileged to serve as the chair of the County Housing Task Force, and affordable housing is one of the major issues that is keeping the working poor poor. One of the findings that we've found in that County Housing Task Force is that Warrenton doesn't lack apartments. There's 1.4 households per households in the county. I don't know if anyone knows that. And what's going on is there is not a starter home. That 1,000-square-foot home that has one bathroom, three bedrooms, that you would have saw in the 50s, and that someone can get in within $180,000 to $240,000 price range. Those don't exist. As a result, all the houses up in the $300,000 range. And those people that would otherwise get into starter homes are now backing up into the apartments, which is causing a scarcity for folks who otherwise would be in apartments. There is actually quite a bit of housing in Warrenton. Matter of fact, we've built more housing than any other city in the county, and we lead the way in development in that side. So, sorry, I'm running out of time.
Dulcie Taylor, candidate for mayor of Astoria. To me, homelessness and housing go hand in hand, and that being said, as Henry said, it's a very large problem that we certainly will not solve in our community, but we can hopefully make some headway. And I would like to concentrate on what we can do for the citizens of Astoria that we know are sleeping in their cars, seniors that are sleeping in their cars, people that have jobs that can't afford to get into housing. So maybe some alternative ways to think about housing and having more conversations within our community with people that understand what these people need, I think would be the best beginning.
Hi, I'm Michael Miller and Sasha again. Of course, there's no solution to homelessness, and there's certainly no one-minute solution. There are a lot of things that we can do to mitigate the problems. There's a lot of things that we can do to recognize the what these people have to give to our community. Often they're not being allowed to participate and actually give to our community. The number one thing the city council has to do that has been doing different is get out of the way of the people that are actually trying to lead. There are two people right in our sitting right, one right there and right there, that are reaching out there, engaged every day in dealing with the homeless solution. So, you know, in the city council, I'm a big believer in the citizens have a lot more power and responsibility to be active and engaged, that they are our police officers, that they are our mental health counselors, that they are our school teachers. I don't really believe in big government, even local level, where you tell people what to do. You listen to the people that are out there with the moral authority doing the job.
At the local level, the city needs to do more to support.
This is Mr.
Sorry,
Jones.
Bruce Jones, candidate for mayor of Astoria. At the local level, we need to do more at the city level to support emergency shelters, whether it's the current Astoria Warming Center, whose work I praise, or whether any other shelter that may come into existence in the future. Additionally, the city needs to support Helping Hands, which is going to be bringing up to 69 beds into the community and the facility they're about to open in Uniontown. But at a deeper level, we all need to lobby our federal elected representatives to reverse the decades-long drastic decline in federal funding for social services programs, which is what has led to much of the current homelessness problems. At the state level, we all need to lobby our state elected representatives for PERS reform and for property tax reform. The failure of our deeply flawed PERS system is the reason why the state cannot provide the level of services to things such as mental health and drug addiction as it should. The deeply flawed property tax system is what has resulted in the inability of the county to fund county programs such as Class of Community Action.
All right, again, 1 minute answers, and we'll start with Mr. Jones again and move on down to Joan Herman. Among the bond issues on the November ballot, there's the new county jail and for public school remodeling. Which would you consider of most benefit to our communities?
The highest priority of those two bonds for me is I'm sorry, Bruce Jones, Astoria mayor candidate, the school bond. I strongly support the school bond, providing for a great future for our kids through functional, safe, secure facilities. And the school bond is not only going to improve the structural condition of those facilities, but is at the high school level going to be adding vocational and technical training capabilities. Those of us like myself whose kids are long gone out of the house and already been educated should all be willing to pay our necessary share of ensuring the next generations get a good education and have a bright future. So I strongly support the school bond.
Michael Miller, Sasha, mayor. Yeah, I support the school bond. I do not support the the jail bond, because I think that you have to just make tough choices, and you have to tell the public, you know, if we don't build drug rehabilitation programs, if we don't increase our mental health, if you don't do that first, I'm afraid it won't get done. I know that I reached out and talked to one of the counselors here at the college, at the high school, and, you know, our schools, you know, supposedly, you know, are failing in this country, and in some ways you can look at Astoria and say that they're failing, but it's not the school, it's the community. The school's being asked to do too much. They're being asked to clothe, they're being asked to provide mental health care, they're being asked to provide security, they're being asked to provide medical treatment. And this is our failure as a community and our failure of our children. We have a real need for foster care families.
Dulcie Taylor, candidate for mayor of Astoria. I too am supporting the school bond. I think our future is our children, and we need to make sure they're safe within their structures and their community that they participate in. And if we don't care for them, then we have really not done our job.
Henry Balancey for Warrenson Mayor, a candidate for mayor. I support the school bond, and largely because you get more bang for your buck. The school bond allows us to build a facility outside the tsunami inundation area, out of hazard zones. If, say, for example, an issue was to hit the city of Warrenton, like a seismic event or a tsunami, we would be able to have a spot to go to. But not only that, if you've ever spent any time in the last year in the cafeteria of the grade school, you'll find out very quickly why we need a new school in Warrenton particularly. And that's why I support the school bond.
John Washington, candidate for mayor of Warrenton. I do support the school bond. However, I do feel that the way that it's going about isn't exactly the way I'd do it. When marijuana became legal back in 2016, the city council of Warrenton put a moratorium against it. Then they stipulated if they raised the moratorium, it must be east of Highway 101, which is Walmart, Costco, etc., while downtown Warrenton is dying on the vine. It's been stated by the current mayor that since they, being the city council, has chosen not to participate in this, that we get a small percentage of the state taxes from the marijuana. It was never revealed to anyone, to my knowledge, what the slice of the pie would be if we had participated. And I think the participation should have been a vote from the people, not from five members of the city council. And the bond, the jail bond, we definitely need to support that, y'all. They have got a revolving door going down there, and they're picking out who's the least likely to kill somebody. And if they draw the right straw, they turn them loose.
Thank
you. They book
them. Thank you. Sorry. I know that time goes mighty quickly, but I believe time's up. Thank you.
David Drayfall, Astoria Ward, City Council, Ward 1. I support the school system bond because I believe if we invest into our future, which is our children, that we might hopefully not need jails if we do some more education and put in our care into these youth. They will hopefully see the light and not need the jails. My niece is a teacher. And she has a classroom of 40 kids. And how can one teacher do this? We need to support the school systems.
Well, I think you were asking us to prioritize, and my priority would be the school. I'm sorry, Roger Rocca, running for Astoria City Council, Ward 1. I'll remember that sooner or later. My priority would be the school bond, which is not to say that no one should vote for the jail bond. But I have concerns about it. I have concerns about the transportation to get people from the proposed new jail to the courthouse to have their court dates. Also, I was talking about 2 weeks ago with the man, one of the three people who were on the county commission when the current jail was built. And what it ended up being was not at all what was planned in the beginning, and that was because of cost overruns. So they had it planned for a jail that wouldn't have all the dangers in it that this one has, but as the cost overruns came in, they had to keep shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, and that's where they got all the blind spots and so on. So any proposal like that, I don't know how you build in not having the cost overrun so you get what you want, but that's an issue as well.
Ron Zilli, Astoria City Council, Ward 3. It's a timely question. I have a 13-year-old daughter in Astoria Middle School right now, and I think earlier this week they were sharing information on the current bond measures that are out there as part of a civic, lesson. And she actually asked me if I supported the school bond, and I told her I definitely did, and I asked her how things were going this year, and we reflected back on last winter. She had a hole in the ceiling above her locker for about 4 weeks, and there was a board with a bucket on it, and she used to tell me the story on a reoccurring basis about, you know, how she felt about having to get in and out of her locker with the board and the bucket there, and this lasted for quite some time. So I definitely am in support of the school bond. I also do see the need for the improvements to the jail, and I do think it's very important to our community. These are tough decisions where you have to prioritize limited resources, and those are the decisions that all of us here running for office are, choosing to be participants in making. And, currently I would definitely prioritize the school bond over the jail.
Joan Herman, Astoria City Council, Ward 3. I taught at the community college level for 14 years, and I saw on a daily basis how education truly transforms lives. The best way we can help keep children out of going to jail in the future is to educate them, or at least one of the best ways to educate them today. And from a very pragmatic standpoint, all of those buildings belong to us, and if we do not keep them up, it's going to cost us a lot more in the long run to try to fix them. And it may be a situation where children are at risk more than they already are. And if I had a child in the school district, well, and even though I don't, I still am concerned about the safety of children in light of what's been going on in some schools across the country. So the school bond is very much needed for a number of reasons. Thank you.
All right, for this next question, again, I'm going to assert my executive privilege and give you up to 2 minutes because it's an important question. And it deals with urban planning. There's apparently an urban renewal plan for downtown Warrenton. There's an Astoria Enterprise Zone. And obviously these entities and this whole topic has an impact at the city council level and the city level. So, starting with Joan Herman, we'll move on down the road. If you could tell us your thoughts about urban planning.
I'm Joan Herman again, Astoria City Council, Ward 3. First, anyone who knows me knows it's not a secret that I don't think putting multi-story hotels up along our beautiful waterfront is going to help bring more visitors to the community, not to mention the fact that it's going to severely interfere with our ability not only to view the river, but to enjoy it. So that is one thing that I don't think is a good answer for our community. So that's one thing. I also believe that the Enterprise Zone that the City Council recently joined with other communities, the county government and the City of Warrenton, is a great tool for bringing living wage jobs to the community. For example, Hayak Maritime at North Tongue Point is going to be able to invest tax without increasing its tax assessment for several years, and in so doing, it will be bringing living wage jobs to the community. So that's another example of what we need to be doing as local government leaders to attempt to create living wage jobs here.
Oh, we have 2 minutes.
We have 2 minutes, I forgot about that. The city now is wrestling with the Urban Core Vision Plan, which is the core part of the downtown area, right along the waterfront. And what do we want the waterfront to look like in the future? Right now, as the zoning stands today, a multi-story, I believe up to 45 feet hotel could go in there. And I think that would be such a loss for not only us today, but for future generations. I believe that we also need to change the zoning along the Youngs Bay waterfront to prohibit hotels from going in there. There's the likelihood or very real possibility of a hotel going in where the old Century Market is, not just south of the roundabout. That's a shame if that happens. That land should instead be used for multi-story housing. So we need to be proactive as soon as we can. It takes a while to get a zoning changed. But we need to change those zones to prohibit hotels where multifamily housing would make a lot more sense. Thank you.
Ron Zilli, Astoria City Council, Ward 3. Urban planning is certainly a complicated problem. You know, and Astoria has a long history. I am have a personal interest and passion for Astoria's history, and you know, I've recently been doing some reading to reflect back on, you know, the continuum of Astoria's development, and it's gone through quite a history of changes over its time, you know, since the early 1840s up through now. And you know, when I look to the changes that are occurring, I've been here since 1994. You know, that was a period of sort of post-industrial. There was a little bit of a lull there in the 90s when things weren't really being developed on the waterfront too much, and now that pace has certainly picked up, and development in the North Coast in general has picked up a lot. You know, I think that, you know, comprehensive planning that's already underway and has begun is a very important step to finish. I think it's very important that the Planning Commission complete their work on making the recommended development code amendments, and that the City Council bring that to closure so it's in place, so future planning in that area particularly can be based on something that is known and we all understand. You know, when you look at the urban growth boundary of Astoria, it's very large and, you know, goes out into a lot of the area to the east side of the town as well. And I think we really do need some long-term visioning. Some of the problems that we try and address around housing are being looked at in the context of the currently developed footprint of Astoria, not the urban growth boundary. I think that the east portion of the community does have a lot of potential for development, and I think we need to seriously consider that. It's very important to economic development, housing, and there's actually some room out there that we need to be considering. I think that it's also important to make sure our staff in the city is appropriately filled, and that we don't have people doing multiple duties around planning, and that we're conducting the planning work that we need to do with permanent staff that are there and they're passionate about their work and doing that stuff all day every day.
Roger Rocca, candidate for Astoria City Council, Ward 1. You're so easy to please. Planning was one of the things that propelled me to run for the City Council. The hotel proposal at 2nd Street in the riverfront really was kind of a wake-up call for us. It's very clear that with the current zoning, which actually dates back to the 50s, with the latest update in the 80s, when Astoria was a very different place, leaves very little room for the City Council actually to say much. If it's a C3 zone and a hotel is a permitted use, there's not a lot the council can do about it. We have the Design Review Committee. We have the Historic Landmarks Commission. They can kind of tweak it at the edges, but it is a permitted use. So it's very important that we move ahead as quickly as possible with the urban part of the riverfront plan. And we get into the zoning. Changing zoning sounds easy, but it takes a lot of consideration. We have probably 19 out of 20 people in Astoria would say we don't want a wall on a river. We would like no development down there or very limited development. So we have to accommodate that way of thinking, and I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, I like it the way it is. But we also have people like Fishhawk Fisheries and so on who have made their livelihood on the river for decades and who are a very integral part of this community and who contribute. And Steve has been on the Planning Commission and so on. So we also need to consider those people when we decide what we're doing on the riverfront. We can't take value from them. And Steve's not going to build a hotel, but we can't have zoning that's so restrictive that he can't do anything with his property and it has no value. So it's a tightrope walk to do zoning, and that's something we need to work on after this visioning process is over, after the urban core part of it is over. But it's very, very important. And we also need to recognize the historic value of our waterfront. It bothered me when the City Council threw out the historic part. Those rocks are from ballast rocks from sailing ships.
David Drayfall, Astoria City Council, Ward 1. This is another problem that Astoria is fighting against each other. We have people that want development. We want most of the people that don't want development. I believe that we need to listen to our citizens and understand what they want and try to implement what the citizens of this city want. We have to worry about our infrastructure. If we just keep bringing in more and more and more people, we don't have the roads, we don't have the sewer systems, we don't have anything for parking. I mean, we don't have any of that stuff to go with this. So if we have to do it smartly, because if we don't, we will just become another town with traffic. And that's not a way that we should be, because that's not what I see for Astoria in the future. I would like to see the urban planning, the 45, I've actually been affected personally by the new hotel being built at Holiday Inn Express. I used to be able to look out my window from where I work and see the mouth of the river, and now I see a hotel. And now I'm worried about the planning of the city, and I love to walk on the Riverwalk and see the river from the Riverwalk itself. The planning that we need to do, it needs to be for the citizens of Astoria.
John Washington, candidate for mayor of Warrenton. Urban development in Warrenton is multifaceted. What I mean by that is Warrenton incorporated with Hammond. Warrenton has their vision of what they want as far as urban development, and their baby is the Hammond Mooring Basin, which isn't even owned by the city at this time. It's owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. If we're gonna start with urban development, we need for the city of Hammond to get a bigger slice of that pie from that Hammond Mooring Basin. I mean, they wanna talk about urban development, but yet Warrenton let the Hammond Library go into such disrepair that they condemned it and moved it in to Warrenton without any consideration of how many kids lost their, not only their library privilege, but a printer, a computer, their homework station, all that. They just came in and said, nope, we're not doing anything with it. We're just gonna take it and put it in Hammond at a property that the school district owns on Main Street. Used to be the old US Bank. Anyhow, there has been no urban development in Hammond. I mean, Hammond people, I go door to door and speak to these people on a daily basis, weather permitting. And their water still stinks, y'all. If we're gonna start with urban development, we need to start in the city of Hammond. Thank you.
Urban planning is important, and one of the first things that I did upon being appointed mayor was say all the plans within the city that we haven't looked at in a long time need to be dispersed to the relevant committees. There was tons of plans and reports that had never actually seen the light of day, and that was one of the things that I did upon becoming mayor. Currently, in the last year, we're updating our transportation systems plan. That covers the entire city's mobility standards, that covers sidewalks, roads, improvements from ODOT, county, and the city. Congestion is an issue, and through this and through community input, October 10th, come to it, 5 to 7 in the Warrenton Community Center, we'll have community input on moving forward on a plan to help meet the congestion issue, the traffic issue, ingress and egress areas, intersections. Furthermore, the Urban Renewal District Plan was formed by voters of the city of Warrenton. And that district plan basically puts together, the first half of it was for the Warrenton Marina improvements, and then the second half was related to downtown improvements. One thing that we're doing is we're actually updating that plan. We're in the throes of it right now. And there'll be some public hearings about that in the short-term future. We're gonna be doing two map amendments basically to ensure that we do more investments into the Warrenton downtown corridor. We're also redoing our emergency operations plan. These all tie into urban planning. How do we get in and out? How do we walk about our city? An additional issue is, yes, the Elk actually is being addressed. There is a joint effort between the state, county, Gearhart, and the city of Warrenton, because we're seeing them all over in the city. Hammond's getting a $1.6 million waterline investment. The Hammond Marina is not yet ours, but once it becomes ours, we'll be able to make those improvements. Before that, the Corps of Engineers said you couldn't, or they hamstrung it. There would be no development in the Hammond Marina. Getting that Hammond Marina in the city of Warrenton's ownership unlocks the potential for the downtown of Hammond to revitalize. And with that waterline upgrade, I think we're going to have a lot of success there as well in the future.
Thank you. Fortunately, my name, Dulcie Taylor, mayor, running candidate for mayor of Astoria. I took over Roger's position. The enterprise zones, first of all, congratulations to the city council, existing city council, for passing those, the enterprise zone that includes the Hayek Marina down at Tongue Point, which is going to bring in, hopefully, ultimately will bring in some more family wage jobs to that location. The urban renewal districts that we have in Astoria, the east and west renewal districts, the west district is getting a bunch of upgrades, and the Bond Street's being opened, and consideration of that is very important, of opening Bond Street. The Riverfront Vision Plan and the urban core is so critical to us maintaining, retaining our views of that district from 2nd to 17th, I think, and putting some restrictions in place that will assure us that we can have that, at least that stretch of land of the Riverwalk to be unencumbered by some big, huge building. I would like to investigate, we do have buildable lands in Astoria, and I would like to see if we can investigate the development of those lands that are still available. Zoning amendments for potential infill where we can without making it be too crowded and horrible, that will give us some more housing perhaps. And timely consideration of developments that go on, trying to get things through City Hall in a timely manner is challenging. So it would be nice to work on making that a little more easier for developers and citizens.
Michael Miller for mayor. I think it reveals a set of values, just to pick a point, that we allot 2 minutes to urban planning, but 1 minute to talk about the homeless, and that kind of bugs me. I think that on the urban planning, it's nice to listen to the people and not overrule their boards. I love our views, but really, you know, if the people of Astoria don't care about each other, if they don't care about the people that live in real poverty just around this corner, you know, if you don't care about their children, if you're not really engaged in helping each other, in lifting each other up, and in believing each other, then I don't care what you do, you know? I mean, it's not my city anymore. I've always felt that Astorians, the reason that drew me here is when a guy from California comes up and says, I was going to jaywalk, and all of a sudden the traffic just stops for me. So I walked across two lanes. Astoria has been a really nice place. I think that we can be a much nicer place. I think we can, I'd like to redevelop as much as possible. When we talk about urban planning, I'd like to have a place where we have neighborhoods where people get along together and look after each other. And however we do that, and we say no to some of the tourism, we need some of it, we maintain our views, but mainly we listen to our citizens. It's their city, give them what they want.
Bruce Jones, candidate for mayor of Astoria. I think the task was talk about urban planning and the enterprise zone. So quickly on the enterprise zone, like everyone else, I'm a big supporter. It allows businesses like Hayek Maritime to expand, add jobs, and have a tax deferment on the expansion of their business, not on the existing property. It's only on the new part, which allows them to accelerate that growth and accelerate bringing the jobs in the community. And then when the tax break expires, the city's going to collect more revenue in the county than they would have otherwise. We haven't talked about the hole in the ground. So as part of urban planning, certainly Heritage Square, the hole in the ground downtown town, the community needs are for more housing. And the city, of course, needs revenue. In my view, it would be a mistake to fill in the hole in the ground and put sod on top of it and make it a park. We have quite a bit of park space in the community, and we have a problem paying for all the maintenance of that park land already. and the community needs revenue from that prime downtown real estate, and we could fulfill a great need by having a mixed-use facility, probably with retail and commercial on the ground floor, and two or three floors above it of residential units, and that would take some of the pressure off the housing, the supply-demand mismatch we have in the city right now. I think Councilor Candidate Herman mentioned the proposed 90-room hotel. I would love also to see that the property of the Old Century Market developed as residential 90 rooms and not hotel 90 rooms. Unfortunately, the process for changing, removing the current language that allows a hotel there is at best about a 9-month process if it's fast-tracked, but that would be nice if that happens. And finally, I don't know if we're going to talk about, let me just mention the urban core very quickly. That process, I'm a huge proponent of the process that's being used for the urban core of the Riverfront Vision Plan because it's open, it's transparent, and every one of you in this room has the opportunity to come to town hall meetings and comment.
All right, starting with Mr. Jones and moving on down. What are your views on Airbnb and vacation rentals and the associated taxes?
We at the city have to find a way to begin enforcing the current prohibition on whole house short-term rentals. We're going to have to find the money to hire a staff that can go out, find these units. I know they're there because when I was out door knocking last week, one person opened the door and said, well, we don't live here. The guy next door owns this house that we're renting for the weekend. So we know they're out there. We need to enforce that prohibition. I'm not opposed to individuals being able to rent out individual rooms in their homes for short-term rental because a lot of people need that income to help them pay their mortgages, and they've earned that right to do that. But we absolutely need to enforce the prohibition on whole house short-term rentals. Is that the whole question or? Okay.
That was it. 1 minute.
I definitely think the Airbnb situation needs to be readdressed. I don't think that people that are... I don't think anybody was really satisfied with it, and it needs a broader discussion. I do believe it's too expensive. It should be cheaper to get into, right, so that people aren't avoiding actually signing up. A lot of people are just doing it, and they're not telling the city. So, and because it's too expensive, and they get so little in return. I think that possibly should we raise the taxes on it and use part of that tax money to help subsidize long-term rental situations instead of short-term rental situations, so we don't have a kind of a struggle there. But that's basically it. I think that he's right that we do need to find these people that are renting out rooms and not telling us about it, but we need to make it economically feasible for them to come forward and say, yes, I'm renting a room out.
Dulcie Taylor, candidate for mayor of Astoria. I agree with both of those guys. People need to follow the rules. I mean, I totally appreciate that people might need people to come and stay in their house on a short-term basis, rent out a room to seniors or whoever needs to add some income to their lives. But they need to follow the rules. We follow the rules. The bed and breakfast follow the rules. The hotels follow the rules. So we need to find them, but we need staff to do that. So we need to find some code enforcement people that will be able to hit the streets and find these people, because a lot of people do follow the rules, but there are others that don't. So I don't know how to find them, but.
Henry Ballenseifer, running for Mayor of Warrenton. I'm fully in favor of people being able to rent out their individual rooms within their house, like Airbnb or homestay lodging. I agree with Councilor Jones. I believe that's their house. They've earned the right to do that, as long as it doesn't change the look or feel of the character of the neighborhood. And what I mean by that is some common sense regulations. So you don't have six cars on a tight, narrow road blocking up the road because they're staying there. As for vacation rentals, well, it's coming to a commission meeting near you very soon, actually. I am on the fence on vacation rentals, but I don't necessarily favor at least adding more vacation rentals or allowing more in the city because of the housing issue and what that means to taking housing offline and what that's causing in terms of the homelessness and housing crisis that we have. So for Airbnbs, on the fence, if not against vacation rentals.
John Washington, candidate for mayor. I understand why people need these Airbnbs. And especially, this may sound a little funny, but for the elderly. I mean, the elderly, if these taxes go up the way they're projected to, there's going to be a lot of people losing their homes. And I think Big Brother needs to stay out of it. If they can rent a room in their home to subsidize their income, to make their taxes so they can keep their home they've had for 30 years, then God bless them. Let them do it. I mean, they're already got them in the back pocket so tight they can't even afford their medication, for crying out loud. I think at some point we need to police ourselves and keep Big Brother out of it. Thank you.
David Drayfall, Astoria City Council, Ward 1. The Airbnbs, I agree with the mayoral candidates. There is a policy that says that you have to have somebody full-time living on the property before you can have an Airbnb. And I know that there are certain homes in this town that are being bought up and rented out as Airbnbs. I know of one that I used to rent, and it had three bedrooms, now they sleep nine. And they are on a small street that they can only park on one side of the street, and so now the people of Astoria have to struggle to find parking in front of their own home because of these Airbnbs. I agree we need to do something about them, but as long as there's somebody in the house and they're paying their taxes and paying all the things for that, I think that that's fine.
Roger Rocca, Story City Council, Ward 1. As has been pointed out, it is legal now to have an Airbnb in your home if you are the occupant of that home. And you have a license and you meet certain other criteria. What our concern, obviously, is taking needed housing off the market. And when somebody gets off a cruise boat and says, this is a cute little town, why don't we buy a house here, Martha, and we can rent it out as an Airbnb, that doesn't help us. And what I would like to see is whether we can have a fee-based system so we have the staff. Again, it gets back to staffing. Can we make enough through fines and so on of people who aren't towing the line on that to pay for a person part-time to do that? It's not hard to find them. They advertise online. We can check to see if they have a license and progress from there. And they need to be collecting room tax so the playing field is level, because other people's are, and it's part of their price for the room. And if you're not in your Airbnb that's unlicensed, then that it's not fair. So we need to get after that.
Ron Zilli, Astoria City Council candidate, Ward 3. I'm supportive of Airbnbs in compliance with the current regulations that we have. I'm not an advocate of complete vacation rental homes in Astoria, given the housing shortage that we have, but we do have a lot of actually large homes in Astoria. I've been going door to door myself, and there's a lot of places that are big, and there's available space, and I agree with the current policies that if someone is a homeowner and paying their taxes, they should be able to utilize that space for their enjoyment and their potential benefit as well, and it can also benefit the community as well. I think that, single occupancy homes that are just rented out as Airbnbs, I think that's a real concern right now because there's too much other demand for single-family housing. But, consistent with our current laws and policies and that they're paying their transient lodging taxes in particular and doing everything they're supposed to be doing, I'm supportive of that.
Joan Herman, Astoria City Council, Ward 3. I am very concerned about the proliferation of Airbnbs and vacation rentals in Astoria. Now, a vacation rental, as some have mentioned, is the rental of an entire home without the owner present, and that is illegal in the city limits. But if you go onto the Airbnb or VRBO website, you will see a number of homes that are listed. You can rent the entire home short term. Regarding limiting Airbnbs, I'm not sure about that, I admit it. Somebody who wants to rent a home, I empathize with them, and I don't see a need to restrict that. But if somebody has a self-contained apartment, whether in the basement or in a mother-in-law unit adjoining the home, I really think we need to look at whether that's the best use of that of our limited resources, and if there were a way we could incentivize property owners to rent to permanent residents, I'd really like to look into that. Thank you.
All right, starting with Bruce Jones, this is a time for closing statements, you know, what you want to say to the audience, this audience and more. And I think it would be appropriate to give you up to 2 minutes, but this will be your final closing statement.
Okay, well, again, I am Bruce Jones. I am a candidate for mayor of Astoria. Significant change has come to our city, and we've been discovered. I think one of my other peers up here said the same term, that we can't put the genie back in the bottle. But with focused leadership, we can manage that change in ways that will retain our unique qualities, but also help us grow our economy and nurture our local culture. We can work with community partners to encourage homegrown business development and discourage outside corporate chain type development that would fundamentally alter our working waterfront community for the worse. Addressing the escalating price and scarcity of housing, diversifying our economy, preparing for the probability, strong likelihood, of an earthquake and a tsunami that will devastate our community is going to require tough choices and tough budget trade-offs. It will require the council to remain focused tightly on our top three or four priorities and avoid being distracted by bright, shiny objects that bounce through our line of sight. I'm ready to work with community groups, the county and state government, city staff, and you, our neighbors, to find workable solutions to our toughest problems. Governance is not easy. If it was, more people would volunteer for it. But neither is leading the response to a catastrophe, and I have done both of those things for my entire professional life, and I'm comfortable in each arena. Thank you for the honor of allowing me to ask for your vote for mayor of Astoria. And please look up brucejonesformayor.com.
Michael Miller, again, Sasha. For mayor, so Bruce says that we need to tightly talk about three issues. And I don't think that's true at all. I think we have many, many issues that we need to address all at the same time. That's what you have to do. It's called life. Now, the city council can't do all that, and I really believe that we should empower and create new boards to help get that along, get that being done by those boards, whether it's a disaster preparedness board, a mental health board, a homelessness board, whatever, you know, so that the city council isn't burdened with too much and spending time on trivial things, what someone might call trivial, like plastic bags. And I don't mean to be insulting. Sorry about that. What I do believe is if I look out here, I always hate coming to these things because there's always people just as bright or brighter in the audience that deserve to be up here and deserve to air their opinion just as much as anybody else. And if you run if the city is being run, they're the ones making those decisions. It's not just one or two or three people up in the city council telling people what should or shouldn't happen. You know, unfortunately, the limited republic we have always wants to have just a couple of people at the top making all decisions, and all they do is recreate the same good old boy system because they end up listening just to a handful of people in the town. I know that Dulcie's an amazing person, absolutely amazing person, and I know that she'd deserve your vote as mayor. I've met Bruce. I disagree with some of his votes, but he's a genuine guy, and you know, he's really, really sharp. And so I could see why somebody would vote for him. Cindy Price, wow, you know? There's a lot of amazing people, and I just want a town that listens to them and balances and brings their views together and empowers them to go off and do things. Thank you.
Again, I want to thank the AAUW, and
this is Dulcie.
Dulcie Taylor. I was going to get to that part, and thank you for considering me to be your mayor of Astoria and sitting here and answering questions. I've spent many hours and many days taking care of my small part of Astoria in the downtown core for about 9 years, and I kind of feel like that I've done a pretty good job down there. That has been my job with the Downtown Association, to look at that area. But now I want to, I'm ready to dive in and look at the details of the rest of the town and how we can all be prosperous and healthy and happy. I'm kind of known as that person that gets things done. I kind of look at things sideways and think of some other creative ways to get a project funded or get some staff on board or just get some volunteers, which I'm mostly really good at getting volunteers. So that spirit of collaboration and consensus is a very big part of how I would lead our community as the mayor, not being a single focused one person council person, but kind of, as Sasha says, working as a team as a group of people who want to do really good things for Astoria, the town that we love. So I hope you consider me when you get those ballots in the mail. Thank you.
Henry Ballenseifer, running for mayor of Warrenton. I'm a third generation Warrenton resident. I've been a city commissioner for 5 years prior to getting the mayoral appointment. Before that, I was a planning commissioner. I voted no on Walmart, not because I had any issues with Walmart per se, is because I saw the traffic problem that was gonna be occurred from that development. I feel I have the experience, leadership, and vision to effectively lead Warrenton to the next chapter of its history. I'm actively on the front lines of building our community up. I'm on the Clatsop Economic Development Resources Board. I'm on the Columbia Pacific Economic Development Council. I chair the County Housing Task Force. I'm also on the Joint Elk Stakeholder Group. Yes, we're working on elk. And in my town halls, I've included staff and made them topical so that when you come to a town hall, you're not just getting me, you're also getting staff members that are relevant to the questions you have and to the topic that we're meeting about. That's government coming to the people, and I intend to do more of that. We've had three town halls since then. We're having another fourth before the end of the year. I plan on having regular town halls if you'll have me for mayor in the next four. Please vote Henry Ballenseifer. Thank you.
John Washington, candidate for mayor of Warrenton. I am not a professional politician. I do not have a political science degree. I do have a very big concern about how the people of Warrenton have lost their voice. I am going door to door with my volunteers distributing 2,500 flyers throughout the town of Warrenton and Hammond. The people are fed up. To quote one of them, we're madder than hell and we're not gonna take it anymore. Trying to become transparent, since there hasn't been any transparency since Mark Kawila stepped down as mayor. Now, Mark used to put a column in the paper in the Columbia Press every week. That has not existed until some good old boy that lives in Hammond went, you know, there's no transparency here. And there hasn't been for years. And to start a town hall meeting now that I've yelled, there's no transparency, it's like slamming the barn door after the horse is already out. It doesn't do you much good. The people have been, that's why there's nobody at the city council meetings. I've spoken to these people eyeball to eyeball. They don't go to the city council meetings because they're allotted 3 minutes, and when they're done, they get a blank stare and a thank you. If somebody in Warrenton or Hammond has a problem, it's my job. I'm the voice. I'm not supposed to lead the city. That's the city manager's job. I'm one vote out of five if I'm elected. But it's still, as mayor, it's my job to be their voice. Not to have my own agenda, not to have somebody else's agenda, but listen to the people and be there for them. I believe it takes leadership, honesty, and integrity to be a mayor. It does not, in my opinion, take a professional politician or a political science degree. And that's why I stand on the issues, and I want to thank you all for listening to me. Good night.
David Dreyfall, Astoria City Council, Ward 1. I've lived and worked in Uniontown since I was 23 years old. I've stood behind a chair in a hair salon for 27 years, 5 days a week. I've been listening to the problems of Astoria and Astorians. I think that I am in step with Astoria and the Astorians of this town, because I believe that I am understanding and listening to everybody of this city. And I want to be able to continue on, not just run for this one. I want to continue on and run for and see my policies and what my ideas I want to continue on forward. I want to see continuity on the council. Like Bruce said earlier tonight, there's only two men that are going to be on the council, and they're going to be for 2 years, and I would like to see that not ever happen again. I think that we need continuity on the council.
Hi, Roger Rocca, Astoria City Council, Ward 1. And I want to thank you. I think tonight was the first time, probably since kindergarten, that I've been applauded for knowing my name, so I appreciate that very much. And thanks to the Daily Astorian and especially AAUW for sponsoring tonight's event and letting us talk with you. Some years ago, I met with a British woman who had traveled across the United States. And she said she found this endless succession of shopping malls and big box stores and so on, and often didn't even know where she was. And then she came here. And she said she felt like she had finally found America. She said she found a vibrancy and a sense of place and an energy here and a beauty. And she said, I hope you'll never lose it. And it's with that in mind that I'm running for city council. Because as we move forward and do new things and go new places, I don't ever want to lose that. My wife, Jan Mitchell, and I moved here about 25 years ago. And we came here because we were looking for the perfect place to live. And we still think we found it. Background, I've been continuously involved in the community since we arrived, first running the Chamber of Commerce and then working on the Bicentennial and then working against those two LNG proposals in town, on the boards of the River Theater, the Crest, the Coast Community Radio, and even for a while in the Astor Street Opry Company. I co-chair the Columbia River Estuary Action Team, volunteered at the Warming Center, served at the Oregon Travel Information Council, Clatsop County Budget Committee. And 40 years ago in California, I opened a dinner theater that's still going strong after all this time. It has a lot of, about 50 employees, and most of them have been there for a very long time. And the woman who's general manager started with me 3 months before we opened 40 years ago. And I say all that just as an indication that I have a range of background that I think gives me the tools that I would need to be an effective council person. So thank you.
Ron Zilli, Astoria City Council, Ward 3. Again, want to thank our hosts tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to engage with all of you. I appreciate you all coming out. You know, this only works if we participate, and it only works if you participate. And I think that's really important as we consider, you know, this next election. There is going to be substantial change on the composition of the City Council and the mayor. And I think we have to look at the portfolio of skill sets that we end up with on City Council. You know, I think I bring a lot to the City Council in my diverse life experience. Being a forester, some people might think about that as, you know, you're growing and cutting trees, but there's a lot to forestry, and I don't just mean it from a technical aspect, but we get so engaged with social political issues. It's a very contentious business. It involves a lot of dynamics with wildlife interactions, ecology, geology, a whole host of science as backgrounds, and it's a very, you know, biosocial system. You know, that is true with any issue that we face today, and the skills that I've, you know, learned over the last 25 years being a part of that in state government are going to be very useful to serving in the City Council as a diverse voice. And additionally, my world, you know, experience and career with the Navy and Navy Reserve has also given me a great breadth of experience to, you know how things are occurring elsewhere in the world, and as we develop and grow, have some perspective on what the issues are that we're working with here. You know, knowing what's on your mind and how you're affected by decisions is very important to me. I can only be successful, and we can only be successful as a city council if we know what you're thinking and how you're affected by decisions and what you need to thrive in Astoria. So I appreciate the opportunity again to share myself with you so you can learn a little bit more about me, and I hope you'll consider me for your vote for Astoria City Council Ward 3. Thank you.
Joan Herman, Astoria City Council Ward 3. First, I want to thank the AAUW and Daily Astorian for sponsoring this forum. We are blessed to live in one of the most beautiful places on earth. Preserving what makes Astoria so uniquely Astoria is good for business, not to mention for all of us who live here. But we also have a responsibility to ensure that Astoria remains a place where all can live and prosper, regardless of income level. I originally came to Astoria in 1986 to work as a newspaper reporter at the Daily Astorian, and prior to that, I'd been working as a reporter. And during my 8 years as a newspaper reporter, I got a crash course in and bird's eye view into the workings of local governments. I had no idea what they were, but I got a really good education in covering the city of Beaverton, school districts, and then the county government here. After that, my first husband and I owned a business that we founded, Bikes and Beyond. That gave me a great appreciation for the role that small business plays, not only in our community, but in our country as a whole. And it wouldn't surprise me if we put all the small businesses together in this town that they are much, much larger than some of the largest employers in town. I also have experience as a community college teacher, as I mentioned, for 14 years. And during that period, I served as chairperson of my 24-person English department. And let me tell you, that was like herding cats. And we often covered contentious issues. So I also have a diverse skill set and am a good listener and a hard worker. As your city council representative, I would promise to work hard on your behalf, to be accessible, to listen to both sides of an issue, and then to have the courage to make the decision that I think is best for the community as a whole. I appreciate you coming out and participating in this great event to educate voters. And please vote Joan Herman, Astoria City Council Ward 3. Thank you.
And thank you, panel members, and also the audience for all your questions. This was fantastic. Thank you.